Amen. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
As always, it's a pleasure to be before you. It's good to see you. It's a good day. I feel good. You guys feel good? Good. And I feel extra good because I was feeling good when I came in. Then I see all these pastors and retired pastors come in. Then I got nervous. So if you like it, good. If you don't, I'm still a student. I'm still learning. So chalk it up to that. So thank you, Deb, for that. As some of you know, the 23rd Psalm. So people love this scripture. I love it. Anything that I could do associated with this, I try. So thank you for singing that verse for me. Marilyn, thank you for reading that version. I promise not to be before you too long today because we have a busy afternoon. But I was given an assignment and a word from the Lord to share with each of you today. So please pray with me. Lord, I love you today, and I thank you for your word. Breathe into this place as only you can. I pray, Lord, that you will speak in this house on today. I pray that the ears and hearts of those here will open up and hear the message so that it can be received. I pray that you move through me and speak right through me to your children. I pray this in the beautiful name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Beautiful words. Beautiful words. Before I continue, as I've mentioned to you before, I want to encourage those of you who are Bible readers or Bible studiers. I'd like to challenge you, especially when it comes to familiar texts like this. I've said it that not to just read the Bible verse by verse, but by word by word. Because each word that you encounter, it's infused with something once you start to take it out and you start to research it and study it. So this psalm, you don't even need a Bible for it, because we all probably learned it in church as a child, right? Bible study, church camp, somewhere. So I don't need much time getting you familiar with the text, so let me jump right in. You see, David starts by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." The word "is," it suggests that David is not dealing with the Lord in the past, but he's dealing with the Lord in the present. David didn't say the Lord was my shepherd. David didn't say the Lord could be my shepherd. He said the Lord is. Right now, I don't know about you, but for this time in my life, I'm like David. All I need to read are the first three words. The Lord is. What this suggests to me is the Lord is whatever I need the Lord to be when I need the Lord to be it. I don't know about you, but I know for a fact that I serve a right now God. Some of you may not want to hear it, but I feel like preaching this today. You see, the Lord is what I need the Lord to be. If I'm sick, I know I can call on the Lord because the Lord is my doctor. If I'm broke, I can call on the Lord because the Lord is my bank. The Lord is my everything. Some of you may understand where I'm coming from. But let me skip down to verse 4. You see, David says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." See, that comforts me. That's a sure sign that no matter what you're going through, there's comfort. Do you realize that David has already claimed victory? He has already declared that I will get through this valley no matter what they throw at me. I will get through unharmed and in one piece. You see, David was asking the Lord to cover him. David was asking the Lord to lead him. In John 14:14, it says that whatever we ask in the name of the Lord will do it. I like this because when you ask the Lord something in prayer, he will approach this differently than anything else. David was praying when he was going through that valley. You see, I say this because when God gets ready to bless us, sometimes he'll send folks to do it for him. Some of you may not understand. You see, but there's been many times when I saw my grandmom and them and the bills were due. They didn't have the money. The money was a little funny. And grandmama says, "How am we gonna, how? But sometimes the money just showed up and it helped her pay these bills. But I tell you that when God gets ready to answer our prayers, God don't send nobody. He shows up himself. I'm a witness to this. You see, yea, though. This is what David is saying. He is saying the Lord can be your shepherd when you're grazing in these green pastures. He can set up me by the still waters. You can be so good until your soul has already been restored. You can actually be in the path, walking down that path of righteousness and still encounter a valley. Too many times we think that we are excluded from the valleys. But can I tell you that there are valleys somewhere with your name on it? Yeah, there is. And when those valleys show up, you have several choices. You can either act like they don't exist, or you can say, "I'm going to claim it. I'm going to claim it." Nobody's talking to me in here. You can either act like they don't exist, or you can sit there and say, "I'm not going to claim it." But if this is where you might want to be, I say this to you, go ahead and claim it. Claim it. Just accept the reality of the valley. The valley. And that the valley is sometimes positioned by God. I'm telling you. You see, when you read further into Psalms 37, verse 23, it says, "The steps of a good man, they are ordered by the Lord." That tells me that those valleys that we encounter, they are positioned just for us. Read it. It's in the Word. The Lord selects them. And I like this too because He controls those valleys. There's some things you will never learn in your life until you get in a valley. Number one, when your valley will show up and your valley will tell you and show you who your friends are. We all have people who say they are our friends, but they haven't seen us in our valley yet. Trust me, you will find out who your friends are. And when you get in that valley, you can probably count them on one hand. And probably still have three left. And we all know that. You see, when you see a valley, you'll notice that there's a mountain on the left and a mountain on the right. This depicts the highs, and the valley are the lows. This suggests to me that throughout our life, we will encounter those highs and those lows. It's up to us to decide on how we will get through that valley. Valleys will help you know who you are. They will. Because sometimes we don't even know ourselves. Sometimes we find ourselves talking about things that we won't ever do. I'm not doing that. I don't care what happened. I ain't doing it. Nope. But guess what? When that valley comes, you're doing the exact same thing that you said you wouldn't do. You'll do a whole bunch of stuff. You see, someone here today may not want you to know, but the reason they are here on today is because they've been in a valley or they're in a valley. Valleys will send you to church. Valleys will have you on your knees praying. Valleys will have you reading your Bible at 2:00 in the morning. I know, because I'm a witness. But valleys will also help you find out who God is. Because sometimes we act like we know God. But sometimes we really don't know God until we've been through some stuff. David is telling us three things. Well, a couple things that he did while he was in the valley. First, he says, I'm going to walk. He didn't say he was going to run. Read the words. He says, I'm going to walk through that valley. Some people would prefer to run. They do it when they exercise. They're out there running. Let me run here so I can get this over with. People are always running. Busy, busy, busy. David says, I'm going to walk. The Lord is saying that when you run, picture it now, that when you run, you're moving fast. When you walk, you're moving a little bit slower. Think about it. What this is saying to me that David decides to walk because he knows that if he runs, that he may make some mistakes. You see, when you run, you can fall. And when you can fall fast because you're running fast. I saw this at the gym and I said, oh, that's it. Someone thought he was running around and all of a sudden fell. If he would have walked, he probably would have saw what was in front of him. You see, anytime God puts you in a valley, he wants you to see something. Somebody out there, talk to me up in here, please. Again, when God puts you in a valley, God wants you to see something. And sometimes it takes a long time for us to see it. Some people can see it as soon as they get in the valley. For others, it takes years and years. By walking, I'm not standing still. It says that I'm continuing to move forward. I might be slow, but I'm moving. Walking says, I'm going somewhere. I'm going at my own pace, not at the pace of yours, but at my own pace. The text also suggests to me that David knew that as he went through that valley, he would be victorious. I looked up Romans 8 and 37, and it says that we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. So that lets me know that no matter what I'm going through, I got the victory. First, I'm going to walk. Second, I'm not going to fear. You know, fear messes us up, right? Fear messes everything up on the inside. You see, fear cancels what my vision is. I'm in seminary, I hope to finish. But my first year, I told you, every week I quit. In my mind, I was quitting because I was scared. It was fear of the unknown. But I'm here to tell you that fear and faith, they don't share. They can't rest in the same space. They can't rest in the same heart. You see, if fear is there, faith can't be there. And if faith is there, where is fear? Not there. I always heard this scripture, and I found it in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, and it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Sight. What does sight mean? Faith will have you applying for that home loan. Trust me. While faith will have you packing up and moving in. I know, because my sister just did it. She applied for that home loan, and my brother-in-law said, wait a minute, we haven't been approved yet. Why are you packing? She says, because I got faith. And guess what? She's moving in. Sight might have you going in for surgery, but faith will have you back home healed. And I'm a witness to that. How many of you have seen the post on Facebook where the guy clips the fake snake on people? And then he runs up and he screams, snake, snake. And these people just, they take off running without even looking. They hear the word snake and they're scared that they're going to get bitten. So they take off. Anybody seen that? Yeah. Screaming. They fear. They fear what's going to happen. It disturbs their focus on where they were going. If they're walking down that street, when you see this, I tell you, Google it. Some of these people are walking. They got somewhere to go. This guy clips the snake on, and he screams, and they turn around, or they take off running, and they lose all focus on their original plan, their destination. Fear distracts people. David didn't let fear distract him from the Lord. The Lord, on the one who we should be focused on. Think about it. If it were said that the Lord would appear in this room right here, where we are, and that we would be, he would be here just for one second, we would probably be standing there looking at that door. Or we'd probably be standing looking up. Maybe he'll come down by that cross, right? But if someone said, bomb, snake, whatever, what are we going to do? We're probably looking that direction wherever the scream was coming from, right? It would take our focus off, and we would probably miss that 1 second that we said that God would be here. Think about it. Think about it. Fear. Some people might remain here unbothered. They might not be scared at all. Okay, snake, whatever. I'm staying right here because I have my focus. I'm not going to let anything take that away from me. Oh, man. Fear, it paralyzes us. David says, though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil. It mentions thy rod and thy staff. They comfort me. The rod suggests the word of God. And the staff is the Holy Spirit. Help me, somebody. Most of us know the story of Daniel and how he was thrown into that lion's den. Daniel, of course, we know that he was devoted to God because he knew him. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid at all of what the king would do to him. And as a result, he prayed to God. And he got thrown into the den with some hungry lions. So how come the lions didn't eat Daniel? And I say it's because Daniel had a close relationship with God. He knew God better than he knew any other person. He considered God his friend. He spent hours and hours each day praying to God, just as David did. One thing that Daniel did that most of us don't do was he became drawn to God, and he lived in God's presence. Think about it. The presence of God. What a mighty place to be. Daniel didn't do this, you know, this as a simple tradition, but he did it because he longed to know God, as most of us do, and he talked to God. Can you imagine the feeling and the peace that he had because of this when he was thrown into that den? And also, like Paul and Silas, you see, they sat in that jail, and they sang, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they sang loud, loud unto the Lord. Until those jailers opened up the door. They did this because they believed what the word of God had said. They believed it. You can compare that, well, add that verse 6. See, I'm getting ready to go to my seat, so just let me get this one out. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Surely means without certainty, without a doubt. No matter what you try to tell me, I ain't listening, because I know for sure that without a doubt, the Lord is my all in all. Whatever David's personal circumstances were, he was able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Is this your testimony? Can you say the Lord is my shepherd? Doubt sees obstacles, but faith sees the way. Doubt questions, who believes? Faith answers, I do. I tell you to trust God, because God will deliver you out of those valleys. Because I trust in all the things that God has to promise. Amen.